And this is what happens in government. You get involved, and all of a sudden you get so wrapped up in making the government great that you forget about the individual.
Right on, right on. That was Campbell County citizen George Dunlap. And he's right. The only thing these redcoats want to do is make government bigger and bigger and bigger, and they forget about the people. Here we go. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment of Weekend Update. From very high above, all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly and permanently ensconced behind the silver cowboy state politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the depths of the middle swamp in Wyoming's capital of Cheyenne. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Saturday. So we're 5 days in, and what a 5 days it's been. It started on Monday with conservatives in the House killing 13 really bad bills. If you hadn't heard, 13 is a really unlucky number, and those 13 bills deserved not to see the light of day. One of the bills that met its demise on Thursday was House Bill 50, the What is a Woman Act. I know what you're thinking. Why in God's name do we have to have a bill to declare what a woman is? On the one hand, everybody already knows what a woman is. They came into this world through one. Every single person on this planet has a mother. And every single person on this planet has a father. That's how our reproductive system works. I realize that I'm preaching to the choir here, but I just wanted to point out how ridiculous it is that we actually have to pass a law to say what a woman is or is not. But apparently we do. Across the country and in Wyoming, there are men who think they are women, and there are women who think they can become men, both of which are absolutely impossible. You cannot escape your genetics. It doesn't matter how you alter your appearance, you either are a man or a woman, and nothing in this world is ever going to change that. Be that as it may, we have people at the University of Wyoming, a man who joined a sorority. In Wyoming, we have men who have altered their physical appearance and think that they're women and somehow believe that entitles them to use women's restrooms. There are school districts in Wyoming who are actively encouraging students to transition from a boy to a girl or from a girl to a boy, as if that were really possible. There's a lawsuit right now in Wyoming courts that was brought by two former Rock Springs parents because the school started transitioning their daughter behind their back. So don't for a minute tell me that these things aren't happening in Wyoming, and don't for a minute tell me that House Bill 50 isn't absolutely necessary. Here's how Representative Jeanette Ward introduced her bill in the Wyoming House of Representatives.
What is a woman act?
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 50 and ask for your favorable introduction consideration. House Bill 50 defines a woman, female, as a person whose reproductive system is developed to produce ova and or who exhibits XX but not Y chromosomes, and defines a male as a person whose reproductive system is developed to fertilize ova and or exhibits XY chromosomes or a Y chromosome. It gives dignity to womanhood by protecting it. This bill has become necessary because a biological male has pushed Wyoming women from their Wyoming sorority in our Wyoming university. Wyoming high school girls are forced to share their private spaces with boys, and many of us know this from firsthand accounts. Female inmates risk being housed with males. This bill protects the privacy and safety of Wyoming women's private spaces and prevents men from entering and vice versa. Critics will claim the bill targets marginalized people. Not true. It reinforces the norm that biological sex is a reality. Protecting Wyoming women from being forced to share their private spaces with men should be a goal upon which we can all agree. Some may argue that this bill may result in the loss of federal dollars, but we cannot allow ourselves to be radicalized by the dependence on federal funds that require us to allow men in Wyoming elementary school bathrooms. No amount of men is worth selling science and sanity down the drain. After all, the Code of the West reminds us that some things are not for sale. Please vote aye.
Despite Representative Ward's impassioned plea to pass her bill, the What is a Woman Act, it was perplexingly killed. In any other session, a general session, it would have easily passed by a vote of 37 to 24. However, being the budget session that it is, this bill would require two-thirds to be introduced into the legislature. Those people who are confused about what a woman is, or absolutely refuse to say what a woman is, are Berger, Burkhart, Byron, Chadwick, Chestick, Eklund, Harshman, Henderson, Larson, and the other Larson, Sandy Newsom, Bob Nicholas, Nemec, Northrop, Ember Oakley, Comrade Omermuller, Crazy Carly Provenza, Trey Sherwood, Liz Storr, Tom Walters, Cody Wiley, Mike Yin, Dan Zwanitzer, and his dad, Dave. There's obviously a couple of reasons why those people voted against the What is a Woman Act. The first one is that they're all confused. The truth is, that's not it at all. Every single one of those people know exactly what a woman is. They just refuse to say it, because they think that somehow that's going to help them in the upcoming election. It tells you volumes about who these people think their constituents are, that by voting against the What is a Woman Act, it's going to garner them more votes. That's the only reason that they voted against it to begin with. And of course, that none of them want to hand the conservatives any kind of a win whatsoever. Yesterday, in the House of Representatives, they finally got around to doing what they're all here to do in the first place, which is pass the budget. You know, the super ultra strong conservative budget, prudent, businesslike, and forward-looking budget that the governor proposed that doesn't contain an ounce of pork barrel spending whatsoever. Except, of course, if you count all of the carve-outs that he included. $20 million to build a shooting range at the Law Enforcement Academy. A whole bunch of more money to build a helipad. And my personal favorite, at least at this 10 seconds, $30,000 for better food at the governor's mansion. If you didn't know, the governor's mansion is managed by Jenny Gordon, Wyoming's first lady. Now, I don't know exactly what she's serving that's going to require $30,000 more than what they already have, but I seem to recall that Governor Gordon and his wife own a bunch of cows. If they wanted better food, why not just go slaughter a couple of them? Trust me, two cows will go a long ways towards dinner, even at the governor's mansion. And, as is usually the case during budget sessions, Appropriations Chair Bob Nicholas picked yet another statewide elected official to go after. It's no secret that all of the Redcoats have been trying to do everything within their power to thwart whatever Chuck Gray is trying to do. It began right after he won the primary election, where Nancy Case tried to recruit somebody else to run against him in the general election. It continued into interim committees with several bills trying to eliminate his power over elections and just about everything else you could possibly imagine. Yesterday afternoon, it all came out. Or I guess we should say, Bob Nicholas was caught red-handed once again by the conservatives. It's a pretty long exchange, but I think that it's worthwhile to go through. After all, any time that Representative Jennings makes a snarky comment towards the front of the House of Representatives, everybody should take notice. It begins with Representative Haroldson pointing out what Bob Nicholas and the rest of the Appropriations Committee is trying to do to Chuck Gray. Here's where it starts.
Representative Haroldson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I guess I have a question on number one. It's kind of a different, I thought it was a little different, saying that No fund shall be expended for out-of-state litigation without specific legislative authorization. Just kind of wondering if you could kind of explain what that looked like and kind of why it looks more like a bill than a line.
And I may stack up the questions for you, Chairman Nicholas, if there are other questions.
As you might imagine every redcoat would do, they tried to hide what they were doing in a budget footnote. That way, maybe nobody would notice, and it would get passed anyway. Next up is Representative Ward, pointing out exactly what they're up to.
Representative Ward?
Yes, that is. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's my question also. And a lot of this seems like legislating from the budget. It seems like Secretary of State, whenever that entity asks for funds, we either deny it and then we tell him what he can't use the funds for. Again, it seems like legislating from the budget.
Uh-oh, legislating from the budget. What Representative Ward is referring to is Article 3, Section 34 of the Wyoming Constitution, which reads, quote, "The general appropriation bills shall embrace nothing but appropriations for the ordinary expenses of the legislative, executive, and judicial departments of the state." Nothing means nothing. Not anything else can be in the budget, and definitely you can't put a bill inside the budget in a little footnote where hopefully nobody would notice. The only thing that can go into the budget is budgetary things, like appropriations, spending money, which is the purpose of passing a budget. But because it's an omnibus bill, and it's hundreds of pages long, the likelihood of the conservatives missing a little item like this is pretty high. Fortunately, in this case, they didn't miss it. Here's how it continues.
With that, Chairman Nicholas.
So, thank you. I'm not sure what the question was there.
Bullcrap. You just got caught legislating from the budget. That's exactly what Representative Ward is accusing you of, and she's asking you to explain yourself, which, of course, is something that Bob Nicholas is not accustomed to. Who should dare to question the great Bob Nicholas? Anyway, here's the rest of what that guy said.
But with regards to the footnote number one, if you go look at the actual footnote that's in the bill, you can see that obviously, if the state or if he's named as a party, he can represent his position in an out-of-state litigation or something that is directly related to the Secretary of State's office. But our primary concern is that he stay within the constitutional confines of what he's directed to do and what his statutory duties are, which would not normally be filing out-of-state litigation.
Clearly, what Bob Nicholas just said bears no resemblance whatsoever to any sort of government spending. Here in just a couple of minutes, I'll bring you the rest of what exactly the Appropriations Committee is trying to do to the Secretary of State. But first, an absolutely outrageous profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or maybe something bigger like a roping arena so you can practice all that rodeo stuff year-round, or maybe you need a big, gigantic warehouse for your business, the two guys you need to talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. They are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do a much better job than anybody else. So, doesn't matter what type of building you've been thinking of, give Nick and Jesse a call. Their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. There's a lot of people that are moving to our great state. And they're going to have houses to live in. So if you're thinking about selling your property, or maybe you're thinking about buying another one, you need a real estate agent that you can trust. That agent is Rebecca Bextel at Compass Real Estate. She's lived in Jackson for more than 20 years and has her fingers on the pulse of the real estate market, all the way from Devil's Tower to Grand Teton. The realtor you need to sell or buy property is Rebecca Bextel. She's the best at what she does, and you're not going to get a better realtor. So give her a call. Her phone number is 307-699-3519. One more time, 307-699-3519. That's Rebecca Bextel at Compass Real Estate. Look, I get it. There's snow on the ground, and you're probably not even thinking about camping. But you absolutely should be. Now is the perfect time to fix all of the little mishaps that happened all summer long with your camper. And the best people to talk to about that are Young's Camper Repair over in Worland. There's not that many people in the state of Wyoming that repair campers, and you definitely don't want to get an amateur. So call the professionals, Tim and Tammy Young at Young's Camper Repair. Their phone number is 307-431-8110. 307-431-8110. You can call them, or you can send them an email at youngscamperrepair@gmail.com. It's extraordinarily important that everybody in Wyoming knows what's happening down here in Wyoming's capital, the Middle Swamp. Make sure that once you listen to an episode of Cowboy State Politics, you're sharing it with all of your friends. That way they can be updated on what's happening in the Middle Swamp as well as you are. So make sure that you subscribe, follow the program, and share every single episode with all of your friends. And now, back to the program. Appropriations Committee is trying to tell Chuck Gray, the Secretary of State, what he can and can't do. And it's as simple as that.
Representative Pendergraft.
It seems to me that as the chief person responsible for elections, and elections occur all over the United States, that it may well be necessary for our Secretary of State to be involved in some sort of litigation outside the state. I still am trying to understand exactly what precipitated this line, if I could.
Representative Trujillo.
You have to kind of read between the lines of the Wyoming legislative ease to understand what Representative Pendergraft is getting at. Essentially, he's accusing the Appropriations Committee of trying to take Chuck Gray's oversight of elections away from him, which is exactly what they're trying to do. Albeit in a really roundabout sort of way. Now, I'm skipping around a bit in the conversation simply because there were other questions asked that kind of takes their attention away from exactly what footnote number one is up to. Next up is Rachel Rodriguez-Williams asking if they've asked every other elected office these similar questions and what the precedence of footnote number one is.
Vice Chairman Rodriguez-Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would also like to state that I was having difficulty hearing Chairman Nicholas as well in the corner of the building. But my question is in regard to footnote number one, just piggybacking on some of the other questions that were asked already. I just like to have a little bit of historical context on whether or not this has been done before for this section in our budget and previous budgets. And then second, is in this budget, is there any similar footnote for any of the other top five in the executive branch? Thank you.
In other words, prove to us that you're not singling out number two in Wyoming's government, the Wyoming Secretary of State, Chuck Gray. By the way, they absolutely are, which will become very evident here in just a couple of minutes.
Representative Walters, if you know.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The reason for this, and it really goes back to, you need to read the full budget footnote, not just the summary note. And so what it states is that the Secretary of State is still allowed to defend the state of Wyoming when Wyoming is a named party or the Secretary is a named party in any out-of-state litigation. That's totally fine. What it does prevent is the Secretary of State, and I can say that because we're talking about that agency right now, so I do believe that's acceptable, is going out and initiating litigation outside of the state or participating in litigation outside of the state that is unrelated to the needs that the state has. And that's really what was concerning to the committee, and that's why we put that in there. And yes, this has been done before. It's not part of any of the other top fives, but I can tell you our good person that manages our money. We've put footnotes in the past to restrict some of the things that individual can do. When we the legislature start to see our top five elected pushing the constitutional bounds of what they're needing to do for the state of Wyoming, we the legislature push back on those items. And that's what this is we the legislature saying, remember, this is about the state of Wyoming. Stay within your lane, and remember, it's for the state of Wyoming.
And that has what to do with the budget? Absolutely nothing. This is the Appropriations Committee trying to tell Secretary of State Chuck Gray what he can and what he can't do. As if Bob Nicholas, Tom Walters, Lloyd Larson, Trey Sherwood, Bill Henderson, Clark Dragshow Stith, and Dave Zwanitzer collectively speak for the entire state of Wyoming. This is legislating from the budget, pure and simple, which is exactly what Tom Walters just admitted to. It is not the job of the Appropriations Committee to tell the Secretary of State to stay in his lane. And last, Tom Walters is being his normal slimy self. He's referring to footnote 13 in the last budget session. The conservatives defeated that one. So yes, they've tried it before, but they're rarely successful in the budget because conservatives are paying attention to it. Here's the beginning of the good part with Representative Jennings.
Let's go to Representative Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm curious on this particular item, the number one, was there any discussion about that? Because it seems to me like it's not, like maybe there was a reason that you put this through, but it seems to me like this is preemptive. Was there an action that had been initiated that you were responding to that you felt like was a constitutional issue? And secondly, because I have looked at the others, and none of the other top electeds are hit with this same footnote, do you have, was there any conversation about the possibility that maybe that's going to bring about some legal action back to the legislature, some blowback that we might, we've seen this in the past that the legislature has overstepped and then the courts got involved. Was there any discussion about that sort of thing?
No, of course there was no discussion of that. And what Representative Jennings is referring to is Senate File 104 that went to the Wyoming Supreme Court and was overturned. That was when they tried to do the exact same thing to Cindy Hill. The only difference between then and now is that was an individual bill. This one is legislating from within the budget. But like I said, it's not like the Appropriations Committee hasn't tried this exact same thing in the past. It was just this last budget session where they tried to do the very same thing to Wyoming Treasurer Curt Meyer, because Curt Meyer is a conservative.
Vice Chairman Larson.
Can you guys hear me? Thank you. So I would just share with you, when the Affordable Care Act was adopted in Congress back in 12 or 13, yet as it was adopted, the only thing that was required for a state to expand what we refer to as Medicaid expansion was for the governor to enter into an agreement with the Center for Medicaid Services. We as a legislature come in that session and similarly said, without legislative approval, the chief executive cannot enter into a conversation, and then we codified that, and that still exists. So this is not, we've done this before, and in each year, over the years, we've seen attempts from in the budget bill or other bills to go ahead and expand relations with federal governments for, like on Medicaid expansion, and we've intervened and said that they can't do that without legislative approval. And so this is, you don't see it in other top officials in this budget, but in previous budgets you have seen it on top officials, maybe not on others, but it certainly has been done before while I've been in the legislature.
Representative Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I would agree that it has been done before, but that's to a specific legal action that the governor was could have federally been authorized to do, and so this body stepped in to prevent. So what were we trying to prevent with this footnote?
Boom. And there's the specific question that the conservatives are getting at. What exactly are you trying to do with this specific footnote? Now, Lloyd Larson, that's who was speaking before, he tries to say, well, with Medicaid expansion, we stepped in. That was with a bill. That was not a footnote that was in the budget. It was a specific bill. What the Wyoming Constitution says is the budget can only contain appropriations, not bills like the one that Representative Larson was talking about. Next up is Representative Sarah Penn reiterating the question from Jennings.
Further discussion on Section 2. Representative Penn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to say that, as was reminded to us, that we're talking about the office and not the person. And so once again, it seems to me like we have a little bit of a concern as to if there is something that's happened recently to the office that would inspire us to need this at this time, or is this something that would be better to wait and bring as a actual bill rather than putting this as a budget footnote?
Representative Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, I'd repeat the question, I guess. Maybe mics weren't working from here up to the front. What was the specific thing that we're attempting to prevent in litigation that prompted this being put in place?
Maybe you didn't hear me before. Here's my question again. Now answer it.
Chairman Nicholas.
I apologize if I don't have the mic high enough or I'm not speaking loud enough. I know that particularly when you're standing at that mic over there, it's hard to hear anything going on. So I think number one, our attempt is number one, to ensure that whoever is in that office complies with the Constitution. And number two, if any person in that office wants to assert anything on behalf of the state of Wyoming in litigation, as if that person or entity represents the state of Wyoming, it has to be the right person to do that. And that this particular office is not that entity. Look at its statutory authority, look at the Constitution, and that's our position. That was one of the derivatives of this particular footnote.
So now, in the end, they finally admit it. This has nothing to do with the budget. It has everything to do with restricting the power of the Secretary of State. Representative Jennings then puts the cap on exactly what they're trying to do. Here he is again.
Representative
Thank
Jennings?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand that we want to limit it and we want the right person doing that, but this limitation is not as a footnote for any of the other electeds who might not be the same person that ought to be litigating. And so I'm just trying to get at why we would choose to send that message to one department but not the others.
Thank you for the
Chairman
question.
Nicholas.
Simply based upon the conduct of the current representative that is in this position.
And there you have it. They're trying to do through the budget what they couldn't do legislatively. This is exactly the same type of trick that Democrats pull in the United States Congress. It's the same type of trick that President Joe Biden has used all along throughout his presidency. If you can't get it done legislatively, use another lever of power. And that's exactly what Bob Nicholas is trying to do. He has no authority to include that in the budget, and it certainly has no authority to regulate what the number two elected office in the state of Wyoming is absolutely constitutionally allowed to do. It's just another case of exactly who these people really are. They're liberals, they're Democrats who can't spell, they are redcoats. Well, I think that'll about do it for today's installment of Weekend Update. Have a good rest of your weekend, and we'll talk again on Monday, where I'll have an interview with Wyoming GOP Chairman Frank Ethorn. Just to kind of give you a roadmap of what's coming next week on the program, at some point during the week, maybe on Wednesday, I'm going to bring you a discussion, an interview, with author Dr. Naomi Wolf. Don't forget to subscribe and follow the program. That way you can be notified every single time there's a brand new episode of Cowboy State Politics. But for now, from the depths of the middle swamp in Wyoming's capital of Cheyenne, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.